Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, Saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you. Certainly welcome you here. Those of you who are joining us online, we appreciate you joining in with us. Today, we are continuing and getting closer and closer to the end of Leviticus. Today, we're in the 26th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 16, primarily focusing on 1 through 13. And what we're going to talk about here this evening is the blessings of obeying the law. The blessings of obeying the law.
Those of you who are joining us online, if you're on our website, we encourage you to subscribe for updates on our website. If you're on YouTube, you can certainly follow us, like, and share. On YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube page, click that notification button, and you'll be notified when we go live. Likewise, on Facebook, if you're on either of our Facebook pages, we certainly appreciate you following us there. And as always, you can like and share, especially when we are doing these live teachings. And the whole purpose is to really help communicate to your particular friends that we are live. And prayerfully, if these teachings are blessing you, then they could possibly be a blessing to those of you that you communicate with on social media. So please take a moment, like and share our videos. And then during the week, we send out posts. You can also like and share those. At the end of the teaching today, and I want to encourage you, if you have a question while we're going through the teaching, take a moment and write the question down. You'll be given an opportunity at the end of the teaching to ask questions, to receive prayer, and an opportunity to give. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings: I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be in your presence today. We thank you for your presence being among us. Thank you for watching over us and waking us up this morning, giving us the presence of mind to be about your business, kingdom business, and even bringing us to this place tonight safely. We thank you for watching over us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for blessing us and protecting us. Thank you for your provisions. But most of all, thank you for your presence. We are so grateful, Father, that you are always with us. Help us to be mindful of your presence. Help us to be keen in, tuned in, so that when you lead us or guide us or speak to us, we not only hear, but we obey your instructions. Forgive us of our transgressions, our sins, our shortcomings and weakness, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us clean hearts. Renew the right spirit in us. We thank you and we bless you, and we pray that this message tonight bless us. We pray, Father, that you will show us, give us eyes to see and ears to hear those things that you want to show us, and hear those things that you reveal to us. Help us and show us how to incorporate the things that we hear, learn from this message tonight in our daily lives. We pray your blessings upon those who are joining in with us, those, Father, who are in this place, those who shall hear this message even at a later date. We pray your anointing destroy every yoke, bring forth healing, bring forth deliverance, set the captives free tonight. Be glorified in us in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Oftentimes when we talk about or talk to people about the law, people seem to have an issue with keeping the law. And I'm sure most of you have heard, you know, the ideology of being under grace and not under the law. But oftentimes people don't recognize the benefits and blessings that is associated with the law. Obeying the law of Jehovah has its benefits, blessings, and privileges. Jehovah provided a variety of incentives and motivations that covered every aspect of community life for all who had wisdom to see the importance of keeping his commandments. As Jehovah instructs Moses and share the benefits and motivations and blessings of obeying his law to the children of Israel and those who join themselves to the commonwealth of Israel, he's going to reveal some things. And what I've tried to do is make some connections between what he shows us in this particular passage and some passages in the New Testament. The whole goal is to try to connect the Old Testament with the New Testament to try to see and understand some of the things that were spoken of by Messiah, by his disciples and the apostles and Paul, and try to make that connection between the New Testament and the Old Testament. From Exodus of Egypt to entering the Promised Land, the law of Jehovah was the constitution that was given by Jehovah to govern the people of Israel and guarantee the blessings of Jehovah to all those who obeyed. Today, as we have to remind ourselves, we live in two kingdoms. We live in the kingdom of this world, which is governed by man and the constitutions. Those of you who've been following us recognize, because we made it clear that, you know, even within the federal government and the state government and even city, that there is the Constitution of the United States, which is a federal document, and then there's the Constitution of the states, which are state documents. And then, of course, there's city charters and ordinances which govern people within their geography within a particular city. And all of these areas or domains have their own specific laws that are designed specifically for them. One county and one city may have different rules and regulations governing it than other counties and other cities. And just as we have the Constitution in the state, in the federal, and in the city, you know, for the kingdoms of men, there's the Constitution for the kingdom of God. The Constitution of the kingdom of God is governed by the laws of God. The constitutions of the kingdoms of men are governed by the constitutions that men write. And so men write laws to govern its people. Jehovah write laws to govern his people. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1, it says, You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am Jehovah your Elohim. Now remember, Moses is being given these commandments while he's in the mountain. He's in Mount Sinai, he's going to come down, he's going to give the children of Israel these instructions. And then after Moses' dealings in receiving the commands of Jehovah, they're going to wander in the wilderness. And then Joshua is actually going to take the people of Jehovah into the Promised Land. But here he's given instructions on governing the children of Israel once they get into the Promised Land, long before they even get on the path, if you would, to the land of promise. And what he says is that when you come into the land, you are to make no idols, no graven image, and there should be no standing image. The New Testament connects idolatry to covetousness, and that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person." Now, what's interesting is that when you talk about unclean and all of these kinds of things, the average person have no idea. They have no idea. And then many will make the statement that Jesus made all things clean. If Jesus made all things clean, then Paul didn't get that memo. Because Paul says that unclean person, well, what's an unclean person? An unclean person is a person who lives based on the commandments as one who is not recognizing and doing what is required when they come into a state of uncleanness. If a person does not recognize that, then they could be in a perpetual state of uncleanness, being rendered unclean in every instance, in many occasions, over the course of a day. And Paul says, no whoremonger. Now, a whoremonger is one who monger among whores. And that could be male or female. It used to be identified by society as a man, but it could be a woman too. No unclean person, nor covetousness. And here Paul says covetousness, who is an idolater, a person who is greedy, a person who has a love for money. Paul would later state that a person who has a love for money, that the love of money is the root of all that is evil. And he says that these individuals, covetous, whoremongers, unclean person, covetous, who is an idolater, had any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and of God. And this Greek word for idolater is defined as a worshiper of false gods. But then it goes even further, used of any follower of Messiah who participate in any way in the worship of the heathen, especially one who attends their sacrificial feasts and eats of the remains of offered victims. And then he goes into a covetous man as a worshiper of mammon. Now, people may say, well, I don't worship money. And you may not. But if you are pursuing money more than you're pursuing God, then you need to ask, who are you pursuing? And if you're pursuing money more than you're pursuing God, then if you worship God and you're putting money before him, then you might be a worshiper of mammon. And so he says that none of these people will inherit the kingdom. And then in another place, Paul puts 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, he says, and know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. So based on what Paul's saying and what some people want to preach, there's none righteous, then that means nobody is going to inherit the kingdom of God if you let them tell it. And if you allow people to put their beliefs and their doctrines on you, calling you a sinner is not a righteous person. A sinner is an unrighteous person. And yes, Messiah died and paid the price for our sins, but there is a response to that from us, that not only we receive what he has done on our behalf, but then we got to turn around and obey him. You can't be a stiff-necked, hard-hearted person disobeying the Messiah who obeyed the commands of Jehovah, rejecting the commands of Jehovah, because in essence, when one says, I'm under grace, then what does that really mean? Are you governing yourself? Well, what are you governing yourself according to? Your laws, his laws, man's laws, the church laws? All of us govern ourselves by some standard, by some moral code. And you can tell that people's morality are in various or different places. Because what some may consider to be immoral, others may not. There are things that you would consider to be immoral that somebody else may consider to be normal. We live in a society now to where people use profanity as if it's everyday language and don't have an issue using it because, after all, that's the language of the day. And the fact of the matter is that is not the way people who have any form of intelligence, because intelligent people use the proper language to define or say what it is they want to say or communicate. Paul says here, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then, be not deceived, he said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, he lays it out because he puts something out there, you know, fornicators. It is not uncommon for church people to fornicate, especially if they are engaged, their fiancé. You know, when you have a fiancé or you get engaged, see, for some, engaged mean you mine, and so we could do what married people do. But then use that whole idea of betrothal. Well, if you're betrothed, you're not married. Now, you may be set aside or set apart from marriage, but you're not married, and therefore you shouldn't be engaged in sex. It's not adultery. It would be adultery if you were married, but if you're not married and engaged, you're a fornicator, and fornicators will not inherit the kingdom. I don't care how much you go to church, no matter how much you sing in the choir. I don't care if your daddy or your mama is the pastors. If you're fornicating, you will not inherit the kingdom. If you're an idolater, if you're a greedy, covetous person, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. If you're an adulterer, no. And then there's this effeminate. One of the fastest growing idolatries in the earth today is the redefining of marriage and gender. What was once a heterosexual or straight person that is sexually or romantically attracted exclusively to people of the opposite sex has been twisted. What used to be a person who identifies with their sex at birth has now been redefined as cisgender. Now, you may not have heard the term, but people may be referring that term to you, so you need to know what it means when somebody calls it, call you that. According to the dictionary, cisgender is a term that describes a person's gender identity. Cisgender came as an evolution of transgender. Because when a person is transgender, one who is not transgender or trying to be the opposite sex now becomes what the LGBT community calls a cisgender. So the transgender would call the non-transgender a cisgender. That's a redefining. A cisgender is a term that describes a person's gender identity, not their sexual or romantic attractions. People who are cisgender may or may not be straight. Yeah, this is dictionary.com basic. People who are straight are either heterosexual or heteromantic. This means that they have a sexual or romantic attraction to a person who is of a different gender than their own. Now, if a person is a transgender, then a cisgender could be attracted to a transgender. I'm telling you, this stuff is getting crazy. The LGBT community has hijacked pronouns. What used to be he, his, and him has been redefined as they, them, and theirs. What used to be she, her, and hers is now ze, her, and hers. All this stuff, it's on the internet. You know, and the dictionaries are evolving with the societal, what is becoming normal, everyday communication. The government, schools, Hollywood, the media, and society is aggressively trying to re-educate its societies into accepting these lies. Why? Because the whole world is becoming confused. And the only thing to keep Jehovah's people from becoming confused is his law. Because church people who reject his law is accepting a lot of this nonsense. They're going with the program. People who reject the commandments, grace people. Well, now, brother, you shouldn't judge. Well, now, brother, no. In the world, that's one thing. But when it comes down to the kingdom, as my kingdom citizenship, as my father is king, then yes, you can live however you choose to live, and that is your right as a citizen of the world. But it's also my right to identify you according to Scripture if you're going to be trying to force me to identify you as something else. When a transgender, a boy, becomes a girl in their wickedness, and then they want you to identify them as such. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. So you're saying if you have decided that you're going to be a girl when you were born a boy, now I, out of respect for your confusion, has to call you a girl when I know you a boy, that makes me confused. And I'm not going to get caught up in your confusion, which means I reject the confusion. And in rejecting the confusion, I'm now the problem. You religious people, y'all the problems. Well, you know, your problem ain't with me. Your problem is with the one I serve, who I know I'm going to have to give an account to, and you might not know that, but you should. You should know. And you parents who are going along with this nonsense. Well, now, brother, that ain't love. Well, I don't know what you define as love, but love always speaks the truth. The media, and you've noticed this over the last 10 or so years, they make a big deal of somebody coming out. You can't, now, you know, when it comes down to the movies, if I'm going to sit and watch a movie, I don't want you shoving stuff in my face. You know, there's the profanity, there's the sex, and now there's the LGBTQ sex. It's all over the place. It's in the schools. You got parents suing schools because they want to accept their child's identity preference. These parents have lost their mind. But that's what happens. You know, first of all, when it comes down to rejecting the law, and then, you know, it's like, okay, rejecting God in any form, and now he and prayer and all that other stuff is not allowed. And you know, here you have a Christian nation and people taking the oath of office on a non-Christian document. And in some straight up idolatry, you know, when you're taking the oath of office in a Christian nation on a book that identifies the idol of the person who's taking the oath of office, and that is becoming acceptance. Because, see, those of you who fail to realize, the Constitution of the United States of America ignore religion. There's this separation to where we will not be governed by any religious institution, so therefore we keep religion out. Now, we acknowledge God, and that's the way the world is. The world acknowledge God, but they reject his commands. They acknowledge him, but they reject his law, as if he has no governing authority. So you got movies that come out as new releases are almost guaranteed to have some reference to LGBTQ lifestyles, trying to make it normal. And it's on daytime TV. It's on family time TV. It's in the cartoons. Several years ago, I took my son to a cartoon movie, and they got cartoon characters transgendering. And it's like, you know, we out of here. We're out of here. I'm just trying to spend some dad time with my boy. And they want to push this stuff. A cartoon, you know, is all right. And then he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Back to Leviticus 2. He says, now, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Jehovah. And what we see here when he says keep my Sabbaths, the Sabbaths include the seventh-day weekly Sabbath, the annual Sabbaths during the feasts, the seventh-year land Sabbath, the year of Jubilee land Sabbath, which we dealt with those particular two in chapter 25 last week and week before last. And then when we were in chapter 23, we dealt with the other Sabbaths. The sanctuary was the tabernacle. So when he's saying you shall reverence my tabernacle, he's talking about the sanctuary, which later becomes the temple. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. And here we see statutes as ordinance, custom, manners, rights. That's how it's used. And people talk about the Mosaic law, that we're not under the law. And they cry faith because Abraham was before the law and Abraham operated in faith. He was the father of faith. Commandments here, mitzvah, precept, or commandments, precept, commanded, law, ordinances. Jehovah, when he was speaking to Isaac in Genesis 26, he commended Abraham by stating, because Abraham did what? He obeyed my voice. He kept my charge. He kept my commandments. He kept my statutes. He kept my Torah. Now understand that the Torah is the instructions. It's the commands of Jehovah. It's the law. When Abraham, who was before Moses, see, when people attribute the Mosaic law to Moses, what they fail to realize is that Moses wrote Genesis. Moses wrote about Abraham. And so when Moses is talking about the law of Jehovah, Father is telling Moses, Abraham kept my law. Now I'm giving you the law. I'm speaking these things to Moses. What Moses here on the mount, he now has to come down and communicate. What Jehovah spoke to Abraham, Abraham had to communicate to his people. See, when we look at the command of circumcision, that was a covenant made with Abraham before the law, according to individuals who perpetuate Moses and the Mosaic law. But Abraham was commanded to circumcise himself, his sons, and all the males in his house. And what did he do? He obeyed it. That was faith. People won't understand. They don't understand that Abraham, who was a father of, who is called the father of faith, became the father of faith because he kept the law. He kept Jehovah's law. He kept his commandments. He kept his charge. He kept his statutes. He obeyed his voice. And because he obeyed him in one particular case, the Bible says that it was attributed unto him as what? Righteousness. Why? Why was it considered to be righteous? Because he heard a command and he obeyed the command. Righteousness is in the command. It's not the command that make us righteous. It's the commandments that we keep. When we obey Yehovah, just like Abraham obeyed Yehovah, it was attributed unto him as righteousness. That's the same way with us. People talk about the law versus faith like Abraham was before the law. But what they failed to talk about are these facts about him. Abraham obeyed, listened, hearkened to Jehovah's voice. Abraham kept, observed Jehovah's charge. Abraham kept, observed Jehovah's commandments. Abraham kept, observed Jehovah's statutes. Abraham kept, observed Jehovah's law. This is what Jehovah said about him, not I. And he's saying this to whom? Abraham's son. And we have the privilege and pleasure of reading it because now we can see just as Abraham was considered the father of faith and the friend of God and obeyed, and as the children of Abraham, what should we do? Likewise. As Abraham was by faith, so should we be. Obeying Jehovah's commandments is the key to his blessings. And I can tell you right now, brothers and sisters, obeying his commandments is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. He says in verse 4, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now, it's important, brothers and sisters, because notice what he says, rain in due season. Because rain out of season is a problem. And rain not in season is a problem. You don't want to get it mixed up. The rain needs to come when the rain needs to come. And Jehovah, who established everything in the earth, established the rain cycles. The latter rains, the early rains, based on the crop cycles. The folks in Jehovah's day, in the Torah, they didn't have what we call these wonderful irrigation systems. They didn't have the kind of electronics and engineering that we have today to where, you know, you got these well systems that can irrigate hundreds, thousands of acres of land. You see, so the people were dependent on the rain in season. Rain in season, he says, and the land shall yield your increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So rain in due season is critical to the survival of a people who are a farming type of people who, you know, take care of animals, who grow crops. The rain is critical. Too much rain causes a flood. It can destroy a crop. Not enough rain can cause a famine. It can destroy a crop. A famine not only destroys crops, but it reduces the amount of food that people can eat. Not only does it reduce the amount of food that people can eat, it also reduces the amount of food that animals can eat. So not only do the people starve, but the animals starve. It affects the economy. And whether we are farmers or not, our food comes from farmers. Or we grow our own food. And it doesn't matter. You can say, I don't eat meat or not. You could be a vegetarian, a vegan, or a carnivore. We all depend on produce from crops and animals for our food and survival. If there is a famine because of no rain, we all suffer because of food shortages and the increased price of food because of the shortages. We've been facing some of that. There was this whole issue that is, you know, still kind of ongoing where it comes down to the pandemic. People talk about inflation. People talk about the price of things going up because of the breakdown in supply chains and these kinds of things. And out in California, they're suffering drought from wells because certain foreign countries are coming in, tapping all the well water, going deep into the ground, and people, farmland is suffering if they don't have the kind of dollars to drill thousands of feet deep into the ground. I mean, there's just a lot of problems economically that are caused, and it creates problems for individuals. Verse 5, he says, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And what is he saying? He said, from the threshing the corn, in other words, you're harvesting the corn, you're threshing it, to where now it's time to harvest the fruit of the vine, and you're making your wines from your grapes or whatever, to sowing time. So from the time you sow and harvest to the time you sow and harvest to the time you sow and harvest, Father is watching over seed time and harvest time, giving one the strength, producing the rain when the rain is needed in its season, making sure that the ground is producing and yielding its fruit. And then he does something supernaturally on the seventh year and the year of Jubilee. In the seventh year, he causes the crop to produce twice as much. And I'm telling you, that's a super, you know, that's supernatural. You do the same amount of work, but you get twice the mud, twice the harvest. Because that harvest now has to go 2 years. The Jubilee, it has to go to the third year when the harvest comes in. And so Father is saying, listen, I'm the one who's doing this. Your ingenuity is not what's doing it. It's Jehovah who's doing it. And all it required of Jehovah's people was faith in him to obey what he said. Because the opposite of faith is disbelief. And when you don't believe what somebody is saying, then you have alternatives to how you're going to get things done. If the people didn't believe Jehovah, then they wouldn't obey Jehovah, which means they would disobey him. And their disobedience would create problems for them because they think that they're getting something done around him and it's creating more problems for them. He says, the people will eat in abundance and dwell safely and protected in the land. So obeying Jehovah's commands produces peace in the land and in the lives of the people. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. These are some serious promises. Now understand, Jehovah is going to show himself mighty because when he gives these commands to Moses, Moses gives these commands to the people, and the people now has to go in and possess a land that is possessed already by someone else. He says, I will rid the evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. So once he settles them, he's going to put the fear of him in the people around them. And then he's going to do something that was during creation. Because see, if you go back to the time of creation, Jehovah gave man dominion over all the animals. The lions, the tigers, the bears, the serpents, the scorpions, the alligators, the crocodiles, and everything else. He gave man authority over and told man to have dominion. And when we see the flood, Noah is bringing all of these animals, and these animals were not necessarily domesticated animals. These weren't the animals people had as pets. These were animals in the wild. Jehovah gave the animals commands to go to the ark. He told Noah to build an ark for them. They came. Noah now and his family is on this ark for an entire year with all of these beasts. And what is he saying? He says, I'm going to put the fear. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Now, as he's bringing the people in the land, the animals that are occupying the land say, hey, here come Jehovah's people, y'all. It's time for us to kind of, you know, make way for them. And the animals would do that. Now, I know that sounds strange, but when I look at if Jehovah made them, then they have, if the trees and the mountains can hear the voice of the Most High, and we, the animals, can hear his voice. When you think kingdom, you have to think about your dominion. Because when fear shows itself in our heart, we have to be quick to recognize that is not of God. And we have to cast it out. We can't let fear reside in us. And fear comes in a variety of ways through a variety of circumstances, because it doesn't matter to the enemy how you know, it gets in as much as it matters that is in. Because if he get fear in, however it happens, then that fear can move you into a place of disobedience where you don't even recognize your own dominion and begin to operate faithless. When he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, and you're operating out of a spirit of fear, then that should say there's something going on here that shouldn't be. And if you don't cast it down, throw it down, reject it, then fear will lead you instead of faith. One being operating in faith. Jehovah assured their safety from wild animals and defeat in war. The enemies of Israel would not be able to stand against them. And when Jehovah's with you, nobody can stand up against you. See, this is the whole purpose of the world trying to re-educate, trying to make a tolerable society to where we become tolerant of things that we shouldn't be tolerant of. Our leaders have lost their minds. The people who call themselves leaders, the people who campaign. I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, one of those not so spoken things where we know politicians lie. I mean, you know, that's what they do. Everybody know that. But now they're just lying outright. They ain't even trying to cover it up. They ain't even trying to hide it. They putting it out there on Main Street and then doubling down when they've been called out, because they know if they repeat it long enough, 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 somebody going to believe it and run with it. The truth is what make you free. Lies will cause you to end up in jail, prison. And there's some folks going to prison right now, in jail right now, because they believed a lie. And they're believing lies. And then they're taking these lies to court and losing. So, you know, one of the things you can do is try to stack the bench. You stack the bench so when you come into the courtroom with your lies, you know, you expect, hey, my favor put you there, now quid pro quo. Come on. Come on. You know why I put you there. Now I need you to stand with me here. Yeah. Verse 7, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Jehovah would show respect, make Israel fruitful, and calls Israel to multiply as he establishes his covenant. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you. In other words, he's saying, I'll turn my face toward you. And this is one of the reasons why we pronounce the blessing. You know, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah calls his face to shine upon you and be gracious. See, that is bringing the respect of Jehovah toward you so that he will make you fruitful and multiply you and establish his covenant with you. You see, he wants his face to be turned toward you. There will always be plenty to eat. Verse 10, and you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Jehovah's tabernacle would be amongst Israel as his presence in the midst. That's the beauty of having his tabernacle. And this is where he says, where two or more gathered together in my name, he's in the midst of us. We want his presence in the midst of us. Why? Because if somebody in here is off, then the presence and the glory of the Almighty is there to correct. If we're headed in the right, wrong direction, then we pray that his correction will be in the midst of us. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Jehovah would walk amongst Israel, and Israel would be his people. This is his promise. Verse 12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I want to be his. Can I be his by not obeying him? This is where the scriptures refer to as hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and rebellious. How can I call God my father and I don't obey my father who are in heaven? Jehovah continually reminds Israel that he is the one who brought our ancestors out of Egypt. Jehovah does not want his people to be bondmen to anyone. He doesn't want you to be a slave. He don't want you owing no one anything but love. But society has taught us. Society has taught us that debt is good. Don't you need another credit card? Don't you need a small business loan or business loan? Listen, your name is good, and we want to give you, you know, $10,000 credit line. Here, take this credit card at 24% interest. Come on now. You done earned it. You deserved it. You know, most of us, we got Credit Karma or whatever, you know, credit-wise, and we look at that credit rating because, you know, we want that credit rating to be right because, you know, you want credit. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it takes the same faith to believe Jehovah to prosper you as it takes for you to go out there and get a loan. It takes faith. Now, you know, I look back. And I see the effect. I see the effect of Christian doctrine on me because I listen to these teachers who talk about, you know, having getting a loan to get debt free. You know, the preachers who want to tell people, you know, we need membership, we need resources, we need to get a loan to add to the sanctuary, and then after we get that loan, we need you to support and pay, and so we can burn the mortgage. And the same people that are bringing in the money to get the mortgage is now some of the same people that are bringing in the money to pay the mortgage off with all that interest. Well, why don't you teach the people to bring the money to buy the land and to build the property without having to take a loan and paying those loan sharks Jehovah's money in interest. Well, that might take a little longer. We might have to wait a little while. Okay. Can you see the patriarchs? You know, when Abraham wanted to buy a piece of property, he didn't go and try to get it on credit. Now, some of you all, you're going through all kinds of things in your head. And you ask yourself, why? Why are you struggling? Why do you have a problem with me saying, the Bible tells us that the slave is a borrower to the lender. Or the borrower is a slave to the lender. So, you know, if Father wants us to not be slaves, who are we to go into slavery by borrowing money and then talking about, look at God bless me with a loan? See, that's messed up in the thinking. But I was messed up in the thinking because somehow I allowed people to convince me that if we're going to be, you know, getting a house for God, then we want to do that debt free. While at the same time, if I wanted my own house, it's okay to go out there and get a mortgage. And that's the way I thought. So here we got a building that is paid for, and my house has got a mortgage. Because that was my way of thinking, and that was okay because there was no mortgage on God's house. But do you know the same faith to get no mortgage on God's house is the same faith it takes to not get a mortgage on my house? Now, I just need his wisdom. Well, he's the one who gave wisdom to get the house debt-free. His house, so-called. You see what I'm saying? So now with a little tweaking and adjusting and renewing in the mind and start thinking just a little bit different, then now I have to come out of the education of the church and the re-education of the book. And the sooner we get re-educated, renewed in our minds, then we start approaching things a little bit different and we start looking for him to move a little bit differently. He said, well, if you want to use me for credit, you know, I can do that, but it's the same fate, bro. Why would you use me that way when you can use me this way? Well, this is what my teachers taught me, so that's how I'm going to use you. This is how I'm going to approach you. This is how I'm going to deal with you. This is how I'm going to believe you. Well, you know, just because your preacher is got a mortgage on his house doesn't necessarily mean that's the leadership you should follow. We got plenty of leaders in the Bible that will teach us, but the biggest challenge for us is getting back to his commands because he's the one who makes rich. He adds no sorrows to it. He's the one who teaches us and gives us the ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. How can I say I'm a free man and I'm a slave to a lender? It's just a readjusting in the way you think, in the way you see things. And in that whole process of readjusting, then now it's like, okay, I have to look at his word a different way because see, this is where the blessings of obeying the law comes in. I can say to him, listen, this is what you said in your word. I'm going to walk in obedience to this as I see it and understand it. And I am expecting you to honor and to follow up on your word. There's nothing wrong with me having that expectation of my Heavenly Father. In fact, he says, try me. Test me in this and see if I won't. You got the courage to believe me? Watch me show you. My word will not return void to me. It's going to accomplish what I sent it out to accomplish. I I'm telling you, it's something when you walk into the dealership with cash. They deal with you differently. They do. When you begin to carry yourself as a person of Jehovah for real, and you're not dependent and trying to manipulate, it's like, listen, you begin to now set the rules for engagement. It's a whole different perspective. You ain't going into no bank with your fingers crossed. Jehovah doesn't want his people in bondage. Leviticus 26:13. I am Jehovah your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. And see, Yeshua comes along and he says, listen, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That means that in every area and aspect of your life, you are free. Now you got to walk that freedom out. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, it would be very difficult for you to walk the freedom out that the Almighty set us free to walk out with the mindset and the mentality of a person who has been in bondage. A person who has been in bondage think like a bondman. They think like a slave. They've been conditioned to think that way. A worldly person has been conditioned to think worldly. A kingdom-minded person has to be reconditioned, re-educated. Their mind has to be renewed to think like a kingdom-minded person, not at the mercy of men and the governments. I wish I knew this stuff 30 years ago. He says, and here's the thing that really says, I've broken the band of your yoke and made you go upright. And the question is, by delivering Israel from bondage and slavery, he broke the band of their yoke. Now the question for me is that, how is he making them upright? Notice what he says, I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. We know that there are by giving Israel his law, he is making them to walk upright. Now, you can choose not to. Much of what is written in this chapter is included in the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The law of Jehovah contains both blessings and curses, life and death. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. Now notice what he says, because this looks like confusing language, but it's not. When all the blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you. Now wait a minute. Now he's saying to Moses, he's giving Moses these instructions to give to the people. Because what is he saying? He says, when all the blessings come upon you, or when all the curses come upon you. Now, wait a minute. Jehovah didn't give laws that contain curses only. His law contained blessings, but a person chooses. And if you choose the blessing, then you're going to do what? Obey. If you disobey, by default, you're choosing what? The curses. So when all these blessings and curses, I don't want the blessings and the curses. I don't know about you. I only want the blessings. I don't want the curses. So I know that this particular verse is saying when all of these blessings and curses could also mean when all these blessings or curses, because I certainly don't want the curses, I want the blessings. I've said before you come upon you and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. In other words, when all these blessings come upon me, I need to take them to heart wherever I am. wherever he disperses me. If I'm operating in curses, I need to take that to heart wherever I am or wherever he's dispersed me. Because if I'm walking in the blessings, then I'm going to continue to praise him and give thanks. If I'm walking in the curses, then I'm going to cry out in a different tone. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I've called heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses." So you got the ability to choose. If you choose to reject the law of Jehovah, you choose death. If you choose, well, wait a minute, what about Jesus? But Jesus came to set, according to, you know, the Christian faith, people free. Yeshua came to set people free from what? Not from Jehovah, free from religion. Free from the bondage of religion so that you can walk in truth. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, there are very few places that you will go into called church, synagogue, assembly, whatever, and find biblical truth. You'll find some truth with some traditions and a whole lot of other stuff. But the proof of the pudding of truth is going to be demonstrated in one's life. Are you living in blessings? Or are you displaying something else? Are you living in life? Or are you displaying something else? Because the Almighty is not a man that he should lie. He's either going to bestow the blessings or you're going to see the curses. Either way, the law contains both blessings and curses, and what side of it you find yourself on will be the choice you make. So he says, "I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Choose life. Don't choose death. Choose blessings. Don't choose curses. Choose life so that your children may live." The blessings and life of the law came by obeying the law of Jehovah. The curses and death of the law came by disobeying the law of Jehovah. Paul wrote, "The wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua Messiah our Lord." But Paul also wrote, "I would not have known what sin is if it wasn't for the law." The law reveals what sin is. So I know what sin is, and I know that the wages of sin is death, because John tells me that sin is a transgression of the law. So if the wages of sin is death, death is going to come by sin. And sin is a transgression of the law. So sin, death, curses is going to come. The paycheck for violating the law is going to be death. Keeping the law of Jehovah, I ensured Jehovah would fight on our behalf and secure the promises of prosperity and success in the life of the believers, as he spoke to Joshua. Joshua said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." This is what Jehovah is saying to him. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have" what? Good success. Yeshua demonstrated in his life as the son of Jehovah and as our high priest the importance of obeying Jehovah, and became the author of eternal security to all who obeyed him, according to Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. What was he obedient to? He was obedient to Jehovah's voice. He was obedient to Jehovah's commandments. He was obedient to Jehovah's statutes and to his law. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. As kings and priests, we serve Jehovah, Yeshua being our high priest, according to Revelation 1:5. And from Yeshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. Unto who? Unto Jehovah, his father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3, 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you shall walk in it. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to war, make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Blessed, Revelation 22:14, are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever maketh and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. The flip side of obedience is disobedience. The flip side of life is death. The flip side of blessings is curses. And so Leviticus 26:14 and 15, you know, and on, we're going to start in next week, but let me just give you the precursor. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And that's my last slide. But I want to say this because it just came back to my mind. And that is, you know, when I was in the church, we were big on generational curses, casting out evil spirits, deliverance ministries, and all that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking in teaching, Father gave me a message back in 1994. It was somewhere in that area. Talked about deliverance through obedience. Now, I'm in a charismatic, apostolic, prophetic church. And I'm watching these people get prayed over and you know, casting out devils and squirming around in the floor and coughing and spitting up and throwing up and all this kind of stuff. Buckets everywhere and towels and folks catching folks and folks falling on the floor and screaming and all this stuff. And Father, you know, it's like if generational curses come from disobeying the commandments, how are these people going to get delivered if they keep disobeying? And see, you know, it kind of dawned on me. I'm seeing people get delivered and, oh, man, these demons have cast out of them. And then, you know, they come back next week for some new demons to be cast out of them. And then the week after that, they got some different demons to be cast out of them. And people are telling them, you're going to always need deliverance. You're going to always, you know, it's like, where is all this stuff at in the Bible? Pastor all on the floor, rolling around, screaming and carrying on, you know, and the leader of the bunch. And I'm, you know, I'm looking at this and it's, you know, I'm going along with it because I'm a part of the ministry, but I'm not in full agreement with the stuff that I'm seeing. And if the foundation of generational curses is based on Jehovah visiting the iniquities of the fathers to the children down to the third and fourth generation, straight out of Exodus chapter number 20, and showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments, then it seems as if loving him and keeping his commandments would be the key to the generational curses, and these people don't have to keep coming on here and spitting all over the place. Because it didn't go over very well. But I did what I was instructed to do. Father, help us. Show us your ways. Again, be glorified in us in Yeshua's name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take any questions or comments, if you have some. And then we're going to prepare to give. And if there are any prayers. Yes, ma'am.
We have a comment from Tanya. It really struck me as you were speaking that what people have done with throwing the law out is as ridiculous as everyone suddenly saying it doesn't matter if we throw out the purpose of stoplights and uproot them all. Yeah. Stoplights are there for our safety. Yeah. Stoplights keep order. Our loving Father blesses us by giving us boundaries.
Yeah.
Cynthia has a comment. Shalom, Apostle. Thank you for this message from Jehovah. It felt very personal from Jehovah to me. Some of what you said, I said today to Abba in prayer. Other things mentioned were words of wisdom, encouragement, instructions, corrections, and strength. Thank you again for giving out that which Jehovah gave to you for his people.
Amen.
That's all the comments we have so far.
Amen. You know, when people tell you that you don't have to keep the law, you know, don't get mad at them. Just recognize that you're talking to somebody who don't know what they're talking about. There's no point in arguing with them. Because how you live their your life is between you and Jehovah, not between you and them. So if they want to be a rebel, if they don't want to keep the law, if they want to trust in grace and faith and all of that, that's their prerogative. But see, what I know is that, you know, no matter how much you tell me the law is cursed, I know that the law contained curses. And I know who the law contained curses for. I'm smarter than that now. Now, you could have got me with that 20 years ago. But now that I've come to realize the truth, you can't pull that one on me. All it does is show me you don't know what you're talking about. I know better now. I've seen the hand of the Almighty. And as I was explaining to people, you know, people used to talk to me and they said, man, you know, this, you know, you started out Baptist and a few years later, you over there in the Apostolic Faith Church and a few years later, you over there in the Lutheran church. A few years later, you over there in the Christian Reformed church. A few years later, you over there, you independent. You know where you're going, family looking at me. You know, they following me. They trust me. I'm keeping them warm and all that good stuff. But even in my own head, it looked like, okay, where you going, bro? And then, you know, when I came into the knowledge that I'm in right now, I have walked this path longer than I walked all those other paths combined. Now, what is that saying to me? Brother, you done found what you've been looking for. You gonna let somebody talk you out of it? I know it wasn't in the Baptist church. It was, you know, Father had me there for a moment. I knew it wasn't there in the charismatic, you know, Apostolic Faith, Pentecostal church. Father had me there for a moment. I knew quicker when I was in the Christian, in the Lutheran and the Christian Reformed Church than I did when I was in the Baptist and in the Charismatic Church. But Father had me there for a while. And I later come to realize that Father was showing me all the these different belief systems and doctrines that keep people separate. Because that's what they do. They put people in camps and they hold them there. How do they hold people in camps? Doctrines. Peter speaks of it, you know, these individuals, they are using cunning and craftiness. They're even denying the Lord who saved them. How do you deny Yeshua? You know how you deny Yeshua? Not like Peter saying, I don't know the man. You deny Yeshua by denying the commandments of his Father. You accept the Son, but reject the Father. And this is what people are doing. Well, my faith is in Jesus. Well, what about God? Didn't he tell you to put your faith in God? Didn't he tell you when you pray, pray our Father who are in heaven? Didn't he say, tell you that what you say in secret, my Father will reward you openly? You know, didn't he send his servant to tell John that their faith in Yeshua does not nullify keeping the commandments of Jehovah? You need both. Because faith in Yeshua brings you into the kingdom, and now the constitution of the kingdom is how you live. Yes, ma'am. Any other comments, questions? You holding that mic like you got something to say.
No, sir.
Okay. Then I take it we got some prayers, but right now we're going to give you opportunity to give. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you for those who support this work, those who are faithful in their tithe and their offerings, those who give, those who pray for us. I thank you so much for the encouragement that come from them as you use people to direct the resources that you've entrusted them with to this ministry. And I pray your abundant, overwhelming, overshadowing blessings to come upon them. Father, I pray that you bless them so hard that they don't know what to do, but then that you give them wisdom on what to do with the resources that you have entrusted them with. We continue to pray your blessings. We continue to ask that you not only bless us, but that you make us a blessing. We know, Father, that the things that you give us is not to consume them on our own lust. We know that you provide so that we have all that we need, but then that you enable us to be a blessing to the widows, to the fatherless, to the poor, to the Levites. You show us how to be good and faithful stewards. And I thank you for that. And I pray your blessings upon each person who hear and respond to the call of directing their tithe and offerings and resources to House of Israel and the houses of Israel worldwide. Not only for the resources of the ministry here, but the resources for the ministries in Ukraine, the resources for ministry in the United Kingdom, the resources for ministry in Nigeria, the resources of ministry in the countries and states that we are yet to be established, that we may advance the kingdom gospel throughout the world. And we thank you for those, Father, who have taken that role, that responsibility, that mantle, that commission on themselves. Overwhelm your people with your presence. Overwhelm them with your blessings as they operate in obedience to your commands in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are joining us online, we want to encourage you. You can give on our website. We encourage you to make your donations do more by supporting us by using Zelle or Venmo or Cash App. And on our website there, you can actually see where you can give. On this page, if you go to the donate page of our website, it will bring you to this page. If you're in Canada, you can give through the Canadian donation link. Now, if you desire a charitable letter from the Canadian revenue, here is Internal Revenue Service for us in America, but in the Canadian Revenue Service, we will provide a charity letter through our Canadian office for all donations that are given in Canada, but only through the Canadian donation link. And so you use that link if you're in Canada and you would like to get a charity letter. We will be eventually preparing letters for those of you who want them here in the United States, and in who request those. We'll be sending out a notification here in the next couple of weeks, letting you know when that time comes. But if you're giving and you desire to give a year-end donation, or you want your donations to count for 2022, it's important that your contributions reach us before midnight on December 31st. And if you send it out on December, January 1st or 2nd, for whatever reason, just make sure that the check or money order is post-dated to December 31st, and that way it will be added to your 2022 giving. These are ways and the ways to give. Zelle, again, Cash App, Venmo. You can send a check or money order in the mail, or you can use the other options, one-time donation link, recurring donation link, PayPal link, text to give, even call in your contribution into the ministry. However you choose to give, we certainly appreciate your giving. Amen. If there are no other comments or questions.
We have a comment from Cynthia saying, I receive every word of that prayer.
Amen. Amen. I'm really expecting and trusting Jehovah to bless his people. I'm looking forward to the day that his people will not have to worry about resources, about finances. You never have to worry about whether or not you have food to pay, monies to buy food, or monies to pay your bills. I not only want, Father, to bless his people to where you are sufficiently provided for, but that there is excess. I'm praying for the excess, because I know that there are people out there, you know, we're very selective in how the resources that Father entrusts us with are used. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it is a much better place to be in to be a blessing to others than it is to be in need. And, you know, both Old Testament and New Testament lets us know who provide for us. Right? We know that. Who meets our needs? Our Father. That's who meets our needs. He supply all of our needs, how? According to his riches and glory in Messiah. So in New Testament, he provides. In Old Testament, he provides. And so we need to keep our eyes focused and in tune, not only to the author and finisher of our faith, but to the one that we cry out to who provide, and not only to provide to meet our needs, but according to our prayers, that he provide more than enough in excess so that we can be a blessing to others. If there aren't any other questions, comments, or prayer, then I want to pray anyway, and then we'll close. Father, I thank you for being our provider. I thank you for being our healer. I thank you for being our deliverer. I thank you for being our mind renewer. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, for the sacrifice Messiah made, for reconciliation. Thank you for opening our eyes and showing us the true way, the kingdom way. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for making us a blessing. And show us how to walk in your blessings every day for the rest of our lives. Show us the way, Father. Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters, for joining in with us. We certainly appreciate you being here. Join us tomorrow for our Sabbath premiere, because we're going to be dealing with the book of Galatians. We're doing part one of the book of Galatians. And then this Sabbath, for our Sabbath service, we're going to be looking at Luke, continuing in Luke, speaking on eternal life and faith and making that connection. Amen. So we look forward to you all being with us for our premiere. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. And then for our Sabbath service, 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sabbath morning. Until then, Shabbat Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.